Suddenly you feel your fingers starting to tintle, starting to vibrate, tinkle, and then you feel like there is coming this huge wave which is breaking down and flooding all over you. And I was really scared of that wave, because you feel like all the energy building up inside your body and that wave coming crashing in. And I was getting hot and I was like, oh, I'm... And then it came, I felt that I was losing control of my processes in my brain, in my whole body.
Welcome to the Feel the Breeze podcast.
All about living your best life through spirituality, energy and mindset. Raw, honest and a little controversial from time to time.
We are Gerben and Rianne from the Feel the Breeze family. We document our lifestyle on YouTube and build our income around our dream life.
We created our reality, our best life, even in the COVID times. We sail around the world with our son while expanding our businesses and investing in projects and startups that have a positive impact on the world.
And on this podcast, we share our stories and experiences.
So, welcome on board.
Well, today we have our in-depth podcast, finally, about how drugs saved our relationship. I think we talked about it. Yes! I think we talked about it for 2 months now, and now we're finally here to record it. But yeah, this is actually... using hard drugs was a first timer with me, with Gerben. And I actually never used hard drugs up until I met Gerben. I was actually against it. I maybe smoked 2 or 3 times pot, but that's all I've done in on drugs department. But yeah, today we're going to share the story why without those hard drugs we wouldn't be together.
It sounds a little bit that Gerben is totally into hard drugs.
Yes.
And completely addicted, and I got into his life. No, that's not the case.
Well, let's see. No, but I think it all started with our first year.
Yeah.
That we were not together.
Not connected.
Yes.
We were connected, but not connected.
Yes.
And maybe that sounds a little bit strange for the listeners. So it was 2016. You were living in a beautiful apartment near River Amstel in Amsterdam, in your own green bubble. And I was doing business in Amsterdam, in the city center, in that nice office space, running that technology scale up. And I was totally off balance. You were completely in balance. So our
state of minds were different.
And, completely different. But we had that feeling, we both knew that we were, let's say, meant to be.
Yeah, we had those butterflies.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah. So we started dating, and
which went very well. Right?
Yeah. No, I fucked up all dates. All the dates. So every date, or I was too late, or I canceled just 5 minutes before, or I showed up in a totally different, with a totally different plan than we had scheduled, or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we were dancing.
We were dancing around each other.
But not being connected.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we were great friends. We had beautiful conversations about life, about challenges, personal growth, personal leadership, spirituality, everything.
And the most beautiful part for me was that I was able to sit next to Rianne completely in silence. I always had to talk or to make noise.
Yeah.
And then I was sitting next to you and we just looked at the view and that was it.
Yeah, it was our first date.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Which turned out to be morning breakfast, were turned into a whole day spending together in Amsterdam. Yeah.
Yeah, but we can talk about that for hours, right?
Yeah.
So that's not for this podcast.
No, but it represents, I think, the connection we had very beautifully.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what kept us dancing.
Yeah.
So at the end of 1 year, fucking up all the dates, we decided, or Rianne throw up, let's say, the final idea, and to say, okay, let's have a beautiful dinner together, I will dress up completely, you in tuxedo. So between just before Christmas or, just before Christmas it was, right?
Yeah.
We go to a nice restaurant and then we have a conversation if we're going to stay friends or something has to change.
And we're going to take that deep dive into love.
Into love, Dr. Love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened? Maybe you can tell about how you did your preparations for that.
Yeah, of course. I was totally excited about that evening, of course, because I really deeply, intuitively knew that we had this beautiful future together and that we could complement each other in a beautiful way. So I was really like, okay, this is the moment. Is it gonna happen or not? But I was also very calm and like, okay, if it's not gonna happen, that's also fine, because then it was just not meant to be at this moment in time, and then maybe somewhere in the future something will happen. So I was really excited and calm, and yeah, I was totally in my feminine energy. So I prepared myself with, I had this beautiful dusty pink long dress. It was silk and had this low back, and at the front it was really, really simple, minimalistic, but really, really elegant. And I did my hair and my makeup, and I was totally ready. I put on my best music just while preparing and waiting for him. But somewhere I also knew that this evening would go a little bit different than I would have planned, because every evening up till then was totally different than we planned or that I imagined. So I was prepared, and and then it was time, and he said, I will be there, I will pick you up. And I was looking out of my window, and I lived at the second floor in this beautiful old characteristic Amsterdam house.
Kennel house,
yes, it's actually a kennel house. So I was looking down to see if he already came into the street driving. But there was no Gerben. And then 5 minutes passed, and then I thought, well, okay, he's been late for 30 minutes before, so he still has some some space here. But then I got a message, I'm almost there, so come downstairs and I will pick you up. So I'm totally excited, oh wow, he's pretty much on time. So I went down and then I opened the door and he drove up. You drove on the, how do you call it, in front of the...
In the street?
On the street, yeah, you put your car there, and I walked out, and then I just saw, okay, he was totally rushed. He just came out of one of his appointments. There was no tuxedo, nothing. He had done nothing.
There was a tuxedo. It was hanging in the back.
Yeah, but I didn't see that. So there was nothing compared to... So I felt totally overdressed, and I thought, okay, what's going to happen right now? And you stepped out and really excited, and you saw me and you said, wow. And I could see those sparkles in your eyes, totally blown away by how I looked. But I could also see that you felt a little bit guilty because you were walking there in your trousers. And you did have your beautiful jacket on. But yeah, then I knew, okay, this is going to be a different evening. And then I actually also knew, okay, today we're not gonna step into a love relationship.
We're not gonna connect.
No.
No.
So, and now you can take it over, because you saw me stepping out of my house, out of the staircase.
Yeah, and I was just soaked up in business, and we had a lot of stuff going on at that moment. So for me, I wasn't really, and I wasn't prepared or ready for this step. And I didn't prepare anything. And of course, I felt guilty. But then I said, okay, I'm going to pick you up. So, yeah, then I saw you and I said, okay, you look wonderful. You look beautiful. But we're not going to a restaurant. We're going back to the office. We will pass by, local supermarket, pick up some sushi. I have to finalize some stuff. And then, yeah, let's see and take it from there.
Yeah.
So... Rihanna was sitting next to me. We were driving to the office in the city center, and yeah, I felt your disappointment. and on the other hand, I think it was very brave of you that you also said, okay, now let's see what the evening will bring.
Yeah, and I think what really happened was like that. I was disappointed in the fact, okay, he is still not ready for this next step. So, but I could easily go back and be very grateful for the friendship we had. So I decided at that moment to step in that car as your best friend and just to be there and to make some beautiful adventures again on the office and whatever you had to do.
Yeah, so, but the stupid thing is that's not what I wanted.
No.
No, but I didn't act to be your, let's say, to be your future lover. I act as your friend, but I wanted something else.
Yeah, but you never really expressed that connection or stepped into that connection.
No, but I didn't know how to make that connection because I was overwhelmed. Do you remember when I told you that you feel like a whirlwind in a pressure cooker?
Yes, I remember. I was really upset about that one. Yeah, but I could laugh about it as well. Yeah. But I can understand it because for everyone who's listening, Gerben didn't do anything really with spirituality or very consciously with mindset. You're quite natural at mindset, but you never really did something like, okay, what is personal growth? How am I conditioned? How can I reflect? How can I mirror myself? Nothing like that.
Nope.
And I was totally into that scene already. So that, so I can understand that if you're not into that scene and then you get me, who is high sensitive and can feel things before others can feel it by themselves, that can, especially at those moments that I can feel like a whirlwind in a pressure cooker.
Yeah. Okay, but back, we had some sushi in a plastic bag carrying up to the third floor of the Candida
of the
building.
Office, yes.
In the office. And the office was filled with people. Yeah. There was music. Then we just had it. And I think we shared all the sushi, right?
Yeah, with all the people there. Yeah, but it was actually really fun because it was really, you were in that startup, so it was really a totally startup vibe. So I did have a great time.
Yeah.
A totally different thing than I would love to have, but still I had a great time.
Yeah. So we were in that office place, and then at the end of the evening, the people left, and then we put on the music. Do you remember the song?
No.
I think it was Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. But I think we actually, at the end, we danced on a classical song.
Yeah.
I thought you meant that one. But.
Yeah, no, we put on the music. We had a big DJ booth over there. And we started dancing. So imagine Rihanna being beautifully dressed and very graciously. And I still with my jeans on. But I was very sad about the outcome because you told me during dancing, we're going to be friends. This is not going to work, Gerben.
No.
So I was crying at that moment. Oh man, I really fucked up again. And how could I do that?
And so then we danced,
and we danced
beautifully.
Yeah,
with a deep connection as friends.
Yeah, and I drove you home.
Yeah, you were still not allowed to come upstairs.
No. So I drove back, and then 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, in January 17.
Yeah.
We had contact, but then I got a message from you that you said, "Hey, I'm in at the east part of the Netherlands, and I had an office over there with a different kind of company. And are you around?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm around. I'm together with my good friend, the artist." Who was actually living in that office building. And we are having a good time and we are preparing dinner. Do you want to join?
Yeah, and of course I said yes, friends as we were, and I knew you would go to Amsterdam later, so.
Yeah. So then you came in into that, and you have to imagine this is an old factory, an old textile factory, and you came in and we were preparing dinner. And we had a beautiful conversation as friends, and we talked with the artist about, let's say, love connections and friendships and everything.
And everything about life. It was really a beautiful conversation. Yeah,
we really had a beautiful conversation.
And we had Amy Winehouse on again.
Yeah, and then he put the music on, and then all of a sudden he said, because he made a painting for me in 2015, and he said, guys, I really love this evening. I'm in such a good vibe. Do you mind if I take some drugs? And that was, I was looking at Rihanna and I said, okay, what's going to happen now?
Yeah, because you knew I never used hard drugs or something like that. No.
So.
Yes. Well, I think what did change, I still was not per definition against hard drugs, but I just didn't know it. And when I started my journey of spirituality and more in mindset, I became more open-minded. So I was still like, okay, hard drugs, it's just not for me, but I wasn't condemning it anymore. So when he started to talk about it, I was just interested. I was just really wanted to know, okay, why is he using drugs and what is he doing? What kind of drugs and what kind of journeys will he have? So and your friend, the artist, is really, really a very special person. Yeah, it's
one of a kind. Yeah. One of a kind. He's a creative director for a big marketing agency, and he created beautiful marketing campaigns, controversial but beautifully. So. Yeah. Yeah.
And even for really the big companies like Sony and things like that. And he just decided at one moment in time in his life to divorce, to sell everything, to give everything to his wife and just become an artist and live from his art. And that's also one of the reasons I think he was living in the office.
Yeah, because he was not making any kind of money. He was just creating. So he was just living in our office space. It was a very special time as well.
Yeah. So he had this beautiful long black coat on. He never put it off, even when it was really hot inside. He was still wearing that coat of, I think it was sheep.
No. Prada jacket.
From horse.
Horse fur. Kind of. Probably, for horse hairs.
Yeah, probably the only thing he kept after.
Yeah, that's what he kept.
Yeah, so and there were all stains on it from paint and things. So you could really see he was an artist. And he was extremely friendly, but very, very outspoken.
Yeah.
I just asked him, well, yes, you can use drugs, and I'm actually also a little bit interested, so maybe you can tell me a little bit more about drugs. And he said very enthusiastically, okay, well, let's do this then. Yeah, yeah. And he stood up and he took that painting from Garben.
Yeah, so it's a big, big painting of me. It's 2 meters by 1 meter. No, and then he took that painting, and at the back of the painting there was a complete all the different kind of drugs, from ecstasy, MDMA, cocaine.
So it was like a pharmacy of drugs he had hidden there, and Gerber never knew. So Gerber was surprised, but I was even more surprised to see all those different kind of stuff. And then we had this beautiful conversation, and the friend of Gerber really knew a lot about drugs, and not only like, okay, I'm a user, so I know what drugs do and what they are, but no, he really, really made like kind of a study about it. So he knew all the components. He knew exactly what chemicals, processes would happen into your brains. And so I felt really, really informed and excited. And he shared everything. And we talked about all the different kinds of drugs. And he also shared, well, I'm not addicted. I use this to spread my consciousness, to get deeper in connection with my creativity, and to spend beautiful moments with my friends.
Yeah.
And there he had me, of course. When he talked about consciousness and deeper connections, and for me, actually, the universe, I thought, hey, okay, there is something here in drugs that I never understood, and that can actually be extremely interesting, which I actually... So I started to open up to the idea of, hey, maybe I can try.
Yeah.
So then we talked about all the different kind of drugs, and he said, well, Rihanna, if you want to start, then we're going to start with ecstasy, and you're only getting like a quarter of a pill and nothing more, because that's more than enough for you with your body weight and this being the first time. So I said, okay. So I was doubting a little bit, and I was feeling a little bit anxiety and nervous, of course, because I never done hard drugs and I didn't know what to expect exactly. He told me a lot. But then again, I also know that your current state of mind is a big impact on what will happen and your surroundings. But he really, really calmed me down, and he said, Rihanna, I will guide you. I will be here. We will make it a beautiful setting here, that it's safe, that you feel safe, and I will be here every step of the way. And that was for me actually the part that I could really step into that feminine energy from, okay, letting loose of control, and that somebody there would catch me whenever I would fall. So eventually I decided, okay, let's try this. Let's do this. So I got that quarter of a pill. And it was this pink pill and a quarter of it. And I got some water and I just swallowed it. It tastes really, really bad. It's horrible. It tastes really, really bad. And then I waited and they put on the music. And Gerben and his friend, you were also both taking a little bit. And then suddenly, and this was actually quite the scary part, suddenly you feel your fingers starting to tinkle, starting to vibrate, tinkle, and everything happen. And then you feel like there is coming this huge wave, which is breaking down and flooding all over you. And I was really scared of that wave, because you feel like all the energy building up inside your body and that wave coming crashing in. And I was getting hot and I was like, oh, I'm... And then it came, I felt that I was losing control of my processes in my brain, in my whole body. And then the friend of Gerben came and he sat by me and he said, Rihanna, you really have to let loose of control. This is the biggest step for you to take. Let loose, ride that wave. Don't fight it, ride that wave. And that actually helped me at the moment. I don't know why he knew he had to say that, but I did a surfing camp and there I learned as well, you can never fight the ocean. The ocean will always win. So work with it, ride that wave. So I knew what to do. So I just focused on my breathing and I would take it easy and they were there with me. They were holding my hands and were there. And suddenly I could let loose of control, and that huge wave that came crossing in just went over me. I came in this little bit of a whirlpool, that part that we call the washing machine if you are a surfer. And then I stepped out within 5 seconds, and then I was floating on the sea and I was drifting. And I was really drifting. And suddenly, and that is with ecstasy, all your happiness feelings and love expressions, serotonin get loosed.
Yeah.
They go. They float to your whole body, and yeah, it's insane how much boundaries we put into ourselves and that get dissolved within just 45 minutes after I've taken that quarter of a pill.
Yeah.
All those filters, everything gone, and you just feel total love and connection with everything and anything around you. So it was like the music was coming in a totally different and more deeper way. All the colors that I was seeing, the movement. Even if I'm telling right now, I can feel that energy and that excitement in my body, as if I'm used drugs. And to be clear, we did not use drugs now. But yeah, I can even feel it. And it's really something amazing. And I understood, okay, hard drugs, of course, it can be really bad if you are in a bad mindset or in a bad surroundings. It can give you a bad trip. But I also experienced at that moment that it can spread your consciousness and your levels of spirituality tremendously. And the amount of love and connection you feel with anything and everything, even if it were just smells or colors or the people, or it was just beautiful. It was really beautiful. Yeah. So from not wanting to let go of control, extreme anxiety for that big crossing wave coming in, yeah, I ended up being in this kind of paradise of my own mind. But not only my own mind, but also very connected to Gerben and his friend. So that's what happened to me. And then I said, okay, there is this whole world within consciousness and spirituality. Because I already was reading a lot about different cultures as well, and shamanism and plant medicine, that maybe I could explore a little bit more.
Yeah.
And not be so judgmental about it. So... Yeah, but a lot of other things became clear to me as well. But something really beautiful happened during that night. And now we're coming to the part that drugs actually saved our relationship, because you had an experience as well. This was mine.
Yeah. For me, it was kind of, let's say, watching everything open up. You together with my friend, and we had the music and we were dancing together. But for me, it was completely letting down of my defense system, let's say, towards you, because I had that, I felt the connection of the love connection we had, but I was still fighting. And that's, I think that's also the reason why I fucked up all the dates, because I was kind of in a destructive mood and my ego was playing a role. And
could it be also a little bit anxiety? And
Oh yeah.
Fear of what might happen if you would let go of all the of all the protection mechanisms and doors and walls you put in place.
Absolutely, yeah. I wasn't ready, and or I told myself I wasn't ready. So for me, it was really. But that moment I saw you dancing and me opening up, so I had the same. So you have that let's say that heat wave in your neck, and then you start opening up, and then normally I can't dance because I'm so anxious about it. But the moment I'm in my flow, I start dancing. So I started dancing, and we were getting in that nice mood all together with the three of us, just in an office building. With the music on, but it was beautiful. And then I felt that kind of connection, and I let go of all the boundaries and the anxiety and the walls I had towards you. And from that moment I realized something, and this was the 19th of January 2017, and I think it was around, let's say, 10-11 o'clock in the evening, and it started snowing. And we looked outside and we saw all the snow coming. And yeah, can you imagine in this kind of state of mind? we had such a good time. And then I remembered, I said, the tuxedo is still in the back of the car. So I ran outside. I opened up the door of my car. I saw the tuxedo hanging, but there was also snow on the ground. So I said, no, I'm not going to mess up the tuxedo. So I took off all my clothes. I was completely naked. And then I took on the tuxedo on my bare feet, and I walked back inside, and I saw Rihanna dancing. I went to you. I took you. I started kissing you. I start saying to you, so, okay, this is it. Now we are there, or now I am there. I'm there. And I grabbed you, and I holded you like the most precious piece of humanity in my arms. And that was, for me, it was completely opening up. Now I'm ready.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready.
Yeah. So from that moment on, we never left each other's side.
No.
No.
It was...
it was done.
Done.
Done and dusted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole evening was actually very beautiful from then. It was not like that we were only like those two lovebirds in our own world. We were experiencing such a beautiful evening also with your friend.
Yeah, we had beautiful conversations about everything in life.
And that's also, we also had our moments, like on our first date we could be silent and just be in our own spaces and processes and energy. Well, we had that even more with when we used the drugs. So there were moments that all three of us just went into our own
own
bubble and started to, because that also you process a lot of the struggles you've had in the past, emotions are coming, and so we also had those beautiful moments of being in your own bubble and being in your own space and really dissolving and solving trauma that was maybe there, but also re-experiencing the beautiful things in life, like the tremendous gratitude, because we are very, very focused on gratitude and being grateful for the little things. But when you use drugs, it's like it multiplies.
There is a notebook, and the notebook is making sound.
Yeah, and I can remember there one time when we used drugs, because after this evening we went through the bankruptcy of Herman's company. We had also quite some struggles, and then we created these atmospheres with the two of us at home. And we did that, I think, two or three times after that. And during one of those evenings, I still remember quite vividly, I had this cleaning thing in the toilet. It's like that soap that's in that plastic that cleans the toilet every time you floss it. I don't know what the name of those things are. I don't even know what they are called in Dutch.
You have the pink and the green balls, and it's dripping the stuff, and you get a nice smell.
Yeah, so I had these very vibrant colors of fuchsia, pink, and blue of the ocean. And I remember during one of those evenings going to the toilet, and then I sat on the toilet and I flushed it, and then I saw that thing in the toilet, and I was so amazed by how beautiful the colors were. So I was getting Gerben and I said, come Gerben, you have to see this. You have to see this. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I took him to the toilet, and then we were both looking at that piece of thing in the toilet. But we were both really, really totally, yes, it's beautiful. Look at the colors. And then I said, well, now you have to look what happens when I flush. So I flushed again. And then, of course, all the colors collided and flowed into each other. And then you had purple and things like that. But the amount, what it did to the experiences and senses, it's really, really beautiful. Yeah. So, it was really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. But we also made the environment. So we had a nice dinner. We had a nice dinner. Then we had a glass of Prosecco.
Yeah.
And then we took the drugs.
Yeah.
We had nice, we had always had a can of water with lemon inside.
Yeah.
So you have to hydrate yourself, no more alcohol. So the surroundings.
Good foods, always.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
So the surrounding is very important, that you are, let's say, in a safe place.
Yeah.
In a place where you feel, warm and welcome. And
And loved.
Loved, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but that's a totally different story. Yeah. Only the part of getting drugs, because Gerben, we were, the first time we were with friends, with a friend who had it.
Yeah.
But the second and the third time and the fourth time, we had to arrange it by ourselves.
Yeah.
So Gerben even had to call somebody to bring drugs, which was also an experience by itself. But that's actually how drugs did not only save our relationship, but also
ignited
it and helped us through a very difficult period in time.
Yeah,
I think as well, because during those evenings and during the bankruptcy of your company, there was a lot of negativity, of course.
Yeah,
but this really helped us break through everything that needed to be broken through.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get all the I built up the defense system in myself very quickly, and so I had to let it go at certain times in moments in time.
Yeah. So I changed my mind on hard drugs totally. I think it's actually I don't think you should use it all the time. I don't think it should be a necessity to experience life or to feel good, but I do think it can definitely help and bring more meaning into your life and deeper connections. And but it opened also some other doors for me, because I changed my mind on hard drugs. But suddenly I understood my colleagues more. At that time I was working in a brewery. And I was this really green leaf, if I look at it back at it now, so naive. But within the brewery you have this whole event business and the big
party scene.
And now I understand why some colleagues back then were always wearing sunglasses during events. I never understood. Well, the sun is down, you're still wearing your sunglasses, and we have a beautiful light show over here. Why are you still wearing your sunglasses? And suddenly I saw that, there is such a big open wide world I never stepped into and realized. And I think it's we used it one time during an event as well. It's totally different than in the home setting.
But
I see now that it's everywhere. And before I never understood this whole concept, but it's everywhere.
You have to imagine Amsterdam during Amsterdam dance event. It's, I think even the drinking water is polluted by the amount of chemicals of people using it and flushing it in the toilets. And
But I went to festivals, but before we used, I did not recognize. I always thought, what are people acting a little bit weird? But okay, they are probably very good connected and they are friends outside the outside work, so probably that is it. But I was just in a total different state of mind, consciousness, level of consciousness. So,
And for me, it's when we started talking with other, let's say, love couples about it. And they were very interested.
Yeah.
And then some of them, they tried it as well. And they said, oh, this is bringing our relationship just to another level. Yeah. We just got connected to each other on a different level. And that's not that we want to promote, let's say, using drugs and hard drugs into your relationship.
No.
But for some people, it was really helpful and something beautiful.
And then we're getting to the what our perspective is now on drugs, because we haven't used drugs anymore since our first year in relationship.
No.
And that has several reasons, but one is that we're actually more looking towards plant-based drugs and plant medicine and rituals and shamanism and things like that. We're actually going to start with a cacao ceremony, which is totally legal and not on the psychedelic sphere influence. So we're not promoting per definition hard drugs, but we're understanding it and say, yeah, it can bring you a lot. And we're watching now this incredible series on Netflix. It's called How the Mind Works. And the first part is about LSD.
And we're going to take it.
We don't know in what kind of form or setting exactly yet, but it's something we will definitely
imagine. Rihanna is 39 weeks pregnant at the moment.
There are just levels of consciousness. And of course, I've read about it a lot as well in ancient cultures. And there are reasons why it could help us to break down the walls we've built upon ourselves. And sometimes we feel stuck and we aren't. And of course, all those building blocks we have built upon ourselves are protection mechanism and not evil, but it's also good to breaking them down and really get connected again to the purest form of your human being and make decisions based on your truest desires. And I think these psychedelics help with that.
Absolutely.
And also fixing trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's about changing perspective. So we are all conditioned by our parents, in our youth, by schools, everything. So you're completely conditioned. And then the moment you use it, you change your perspective on all kind of, hey, oh, this is possible as well. Oh, I can see it from this kind of perspective. So it really opened up a complete new world for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. And I really can't wait, because I would love to try, because these are pleasant experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the part of MDMA, which is really the love drug, mm-hmm. it is pleasant. But there are, of course, spiritual journeys that aren't really pleasant. Like, I would love to try the ayahuasca.
Yeah.
Which can be pleasant, but mostly isn't.
Pleasant, yeah.
Yeah, and there are a lot more spiritual journeys. Also, like being silent for 4 weeks, for a month, not talking to anybody, and being like in a Buddhistic temple or things like that. Those are also spiritual journeys.
Yeah,
and those things would definitely want to try. And I truly believe that if we evolve ourselves, we evolve together as well, and our relationships get better and deeper connected as well.
Yeah, and I think it's very beautiful that we did it together, that we had this journey together.
Yeah. It's one of my best memories.
Yeah. So we're going to leave the synthetic drugs behind, and we're going to step into, let's say, the more plant-based and more spiritual journeys.
Yeah. yeah.
That's exciting. Our next phase.
That's our next phase, yeah. Yeah, so...
First another baby.
Yes! So this was a story about how drugs saved our relationship. And as you know, we are very spiritual and into personal growth. This is something we teach to our coaches as well and the people who follow our courses. And if you want to know a little bit more, visit us on our website. And don't forget to take a look at the series How the Mind Works on Netflix. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening of this episode of our podcast. If you want to know more about us, our businesses, or what we can do for you, or just want to follow our adventures, take a look at our website www.feelthebreeze.nl, and you can find us on YouTube with weekly vlogs and daily updates on Instagram. Just look for Feel the Breeze family. Have an amazing day and feel the breeze.